From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, Congress votes on life, a new CDC recommendation harms infants, and the importance of having a biblical worldview. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. At every turn, the Biden administration is trying to destroy families and the culture of life that the majority of Americans believe in. We've talked on this show about how Senator Tuberville is holding up military promotions because the administration is trying to insert abortion propaganda into the military. And on Thursday of this week, a significant amendment to the NDAA put forward by Representative Ronnie Jackson of Texas, was up for a vote. Joining Tony Perkins to talk about that was Representative Mike Johnson of Louisiana. Here's Tony Perkins.
Congressman Johnson, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Now, I know you may have to slip off to vote because I think votes are right now taking place. Give us the latest on an amendment you and I have talked about. It was offered earlier. It's going to be voted on here momentarily. That is the one by Congressman Ronnie Jackson that directs the it goes directly to the heart of the issue of the funding for abortion in terms of facilitating it by the Department of Defense. Give us a status on that.
Yeah, you know, the Department of Defense is doing an end run around many of the pro-life states' laws and all the hard work that's been done. After Dobbs overturned Roe, this has become a really important issue in the country. And so what they try to do by sort of this executive fiat through the executive branch and in the Department of Defense is the Secretary of Defense, the Secretary has said that they will pay for or reimburse expenses relating to abortion services. So in other words, if a service member or a woman serving is pregnant and she's on a base somewhere, then she can travel to, and she's in a red state, she can travel to a state that provides abortion and taxpayers will reimburse her for that. That's a violation of the Hyde Amendment, the long protection we've had in federal law against the use of taxpayer dollars for that. It violates the spirit and the letter of the law in the states around the country that have worked so hard, and we've got to make sure that this is reversed. And so this amendment is our attempt and effort to do that.
Yeah, and just to be very clear here, we're talking about elective abortions. So this is
right.
This is new territory. For decades, this has been a bipartisan position that taxpayers would not be forced to facilitate abortion. So that amendment, it's been debated on the floor. We voted on here momentarily. And folks, you can still weigh in on this by calling the Capitol switchboard 202-224-3121 and telling your member of Congress to support Ronnie Jackson's amendment to get the government out of the abortion business.
Amendment number five, Tony. That's what they need to say.
All right. That'll be very clear. Amendment number five, support amendment number five by Congressman Ronnie Jackson of Texas. All right. What else are we looking at? There's several other programs that are being zeroed in on by conservatives.
Well, right. As you mentioned, you know, it's the president and his administration that has injected into the military all of this woke social policy nonsense. And so we have ESG and DEI and anything else you can imagine, you know, funding of drag queen shows on military bases, violation of parental rights. We were able to get amendments, it ruled in order here to take care of all of that, to take that out of our military policy. And so those are some of the debates that have been had on the floor, and these are the votes that we'll have here over the next several hours. We may be on the floor until after midnight tonight handling all this, but it's far more contentious than it should be. You know, our military has a very important job. They're to be trained to be a powerful force that wins wars and defends our nation, not experimentation with social policy. And so it's just completely disingenuous for the president to say the things that he said today. It's not, as you noted, Tony, it's not Republicans and conservatives that are inserting this. It was him. We're undoing the damage that has been done.
You know, it's like they poke the bear and the bear pushes back and they accuse the bear of being aggressive. It is right. The left that has been pushing this stuff for years. I mean, the military should be focused on preparing to fight and win wars, not picking the proper pronouns, which is what this administration is focused on. I do want to point out, Congressman, that there's something unique here under this Republican Congress, is that you're actually having debates on the floor about amendments. That is something that hasn't happened in a very long time.
What a concept. Yeah, you know, we were able to get some real process reforms in that long, drawn-out battle for the speakership in January, and as painful as that process was for everyone, the result was really good. We got transparency again. We eliminated forever, we hope, the possibility of omnibus spending bills and giant pieces of legislation that no one has read. We're going through this methodical process. It takes a lot more time and effort, but this is what is demanded, and that's what the American people deserve. And I'm really glad we've gotten back to some.
Yeah, I don't want people to miss that as we're in these raging debates. That a year ago we couldn't even have these debates under the Democratic rules. There was no debate. It was just you were steamrolled in the left's process of getting their agenda through. I want to transition, Congressman Johnson, to yesterday's hearing in which you were a part of in the Judiciary Committee with Director of the FBI, Christopher Wray. There were some troubling things that came up from my standpoint as I listened to the debate. One of those issues was over the FISA warrants and the fact that there's been literally hundreds of thousands of those that were improperly served. That's alarming.
Well, of course it is. It may be many more than hundreds of thousands, perhaps more than a million. And that is a law that is supposed to be used for, you know, intelligence and gathering info on people overseas who are trying to do Americans harm. But the law has been abused by the FBI routinely, and American citizens have been swept up into this, and their privacy rights violated, and all sorts of information gathered and used against them inappropriately. That was just one of the many things that Director Wray was really evasive about. And I think, Tony, and I've said it in media all day long today, I think he said things that were demonstrably, provably untrue. And I don't know whether he's lying under oath, or he certainly didn't, or he didn't know some of these things, but either of those eventualities is alarming to us. And he has a lot more explaining to do.
Well, there was actually testimony yesterday that contradicted previous testimony when he was asked about it. He said, well, I just didn't know. That's very convenient to say, well, I didn't know about that, but mislead Congress in these oversight hearings.
Yeah, our oversight is a critical responsibility of the Congress, and this is a serious matter here because the American people are losing their faith in our Department of Justice, our system of justice itself, because the scandals are mounting here. And under Director Wray's watch, I mean, we all know the long list of abuses. I mean, they use counterterrorism resources against parents at school board meetings, and they raided the homes of conservative political opponents, and they labeled conservative Catholics, pro-life citizens, violent extremists. You know, you had the special counsel Durham report just last month, and he concluded that the FBI failed to uphold its mission of strict fidelity to the law. And then, Tony, out of our home state of Louisiana, July 4th, this explosive 155-page court opinion, where a federal court looks at all this and concludes, this is the court's words, not mine.
Right.
The FBI is directly involved in what is arguably the most massive attack against free speech in United States history. This is not a game. And he owes us more explanation, and we're all owed accountability for what's happened here.
I want to go back. We just got about a minute left. I want to go back to the FISA warrants, because this is something that goes back to post-9/11 Patriot Act. This is something that is up before Congress for reauthorization. Is this going to be reauthorized?
We are going to fight tooth and nail the reauthorization of Section 702 of FISA unless there are real and meaningful reforms to ensure that the constitutional rights of the citizens that all these statutes are designed to protect are respected. And that is not happening here. And so there's no way that you're going to get the Republican votes to authorize this in its current form. And we need the FBI and everybody in the intelligence agencies to acknowledge the errors, own up to them, and commit to us that they will follow the law. That's the key here.
All right, Congressman Mike Johnson, I know you got to go vote on the amendments to the NDAA. I thank you for stepping off the floor to join us by phone.
You got it, my friend. Talk to you soon.
All right. Okay, Mike.
Shortly after this segment of Washington Watch Live aired, we found out that Ronnie Jackson's pro-life amendment to the NDAA passed. You can find out more about it, as well as Mike Johnson, when you visit TonyPerkins.com. That's TonyPerkins.com.
Hi, I'm Joseph Backholm, host of The Outstanding Podcast, inviting you to join me as we discuss the news of the day and the issues that shape us. Christians are commanded to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. With that in mind, The Outstanding Podcast takes you behind the headlines to help you understand what happened and why. If you're looking for something informative and casual that will help you see what God is doing in the world, The Outstanding Podcast is for you. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or find it at WashingtonStand.com. It's not just another podcast. It's outstanding.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Last week, the CDC published guidance for men who claim to be transgender to chest-feed babies. Instead of focusing on a mother's nourishment for her baby, this chest-feeding advice includes pointers for men who take drugs to produce hormones that mimic a pregnant woman's body, even while ignoring potential harm such lab-produced hormones could have on a delicate infant. Joining Tony Perkins to discuss it was Kansas Senator Dr. Roger Marshall. Here's Tony Perkins.
Senator Marshall, welcome back to Washington Watch. Always great to see you.
Yeah, Tony, isn't this amazing? I spent a career delivering a baby every day and always encouraged breastfeeding. It's so important to the nourishment of that baby. And certainly you and I knew that we'd be up here fighting to protect the baby before it was born. But did you ever think we'd have to protect the health of the baby after it's born? That this White House has put their woke agenda ahead of what's healthy for babies. In this case, I'm just beside myself. The CDC is in direct contraindication from what the FDA is said to do. The CDC is now recommending a drug that the FDA took off the market in 2004 because it wasn't safe. And it wasn't just kind of unsafe. It caused a heart arrhythmia. And this drug, if these men take it, and they chest feed their baby and they give this trans fluid to their babies, that drug's going to go into that baby's system with the potential for causing arrhythmias as well. I can't believe it.
So we don't even really know the long-term consequences of these games that we're playing, but yet our federal government, I mean, this is from their platform, in the CDC's website section, Health Equity Considerations, found under its infant and young child feeding toolkit, the center declares that transgender and non-binary gendered individuals may give birth and breastfeed or feed at the chest. I mean, and this denies reality, but in doing so, as you've pointed out, this puts children at risk, and we don't know the long-term consequences here.
Yeah, Tony, when will the woke left stop putting their woke agenda ahead of what's best for these babies? I think that's the bottom line here. Again, they are using a medicine that the FDA has taken off the market. They're combining it with hormones, estrogen and progesterone, as well as a diuretic, giving it to these men who are then chest feeding the baby with this fluid that's coming from their chest. We'll just leave it at that. We know it's not, there's no way it's got the same nourishment. It doesn't have colostrum in it. Colostrum is what God gives women in their first couple of days of breastfeeding. It's full of antibodies and antioxidants to protect the health of the baby. I think there's no way that there's enough caloric value in this trans fluid either to nourish the baby. Again, they are in direct contraindication with the FDA. The CDC is way outside of their lane. They put their woke agenda ahead of the health of newborn babies.
So just to be clear, Dr. Marshall, are these drugs being used as they were intended to use? Is this the proper use of all of these drugs, these hormones and such?
Yeah, well, of course not. First of all, the dromipiridone is a drug that was intended for anti-nausea, but it was taken off the market in 2004. So they're really practicing medicine with a drug. I really think this is illegal what the CDC is doing by recommending and marketing this drug. The other drugs that they're giving are birth control pills or estrogen and progesterone, which are used in menopausal management typically. And the problem is, if you could imagine giving large doses of estrogen or progesterone to, whether it's a boy baby or a girl baby, to your point earlier, we don't know what it's going to do. Is it going to help? Is it going to make the skull close more quickly? Is it going to basically induce some type of a puberty? Are we going to see gynecomastia? And there's other things I feel like are PG-13 I shouldn't talk about. So they're being used way outside of their lanes. I guarantee you, Tony, if a woman came to me and said she's breastfeeding and could she take any one of these drugs, I would tell her, you have a choice, ma'am. You can either take the drug or you can do breastfeed, but you cannot do both. I don't think it's safe for your baby. And we're always really concerned is when you have this menagerie of drugs, a concoction mixing together. We have no idea the impact on that baby. But we do know it's passing through the breast milk. We do know there's lots of side effects. This is horrible medicine. I just don't know how they won't get sued. I've just never seen the CDC stoop so low.
Can this agency be saved?
Oh boy. You know, I think it's like many agencies here at the White House. The top levels, I think, we need to clean house and start over in so many of them. I think there's always lots of good people, good, meaningful people. But the political appointees are the ones that got to go. And that starts with a change at the top of the White House. Elections. And that's what elections are for.
Elections have consequences. Dr. Roger Marshall, always great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks for your fight as well. We appreciate you having our back.
You can find out more about Roger Marshall when you visit TonyPerkins.com. That's TonyPerkins.com.
We live in a culture that has lost sight of what is true. Many, including Christians, are searching for answers to life's most important questions. With this in mind, Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview has partnered with Summit Ministries to present Now We Live, a free 6-episode video series designed to encourage worldview discussions central to the Christian faith. Each episode offers practical instruction led by leading Christian thinkers. Access this series at frc.org/worldview.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Disturbing research in 2021 revealed that only 21% of those who regularly attend evangelical churches have a biblical worldview. The Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview has published a new resource titled An Introduction to Worldview, Refining the Lens Through Which You See Everything. Joining Tony to discuss it is the publication's author, David Clausen. He's the director of the Center for Biblical Worldview at the Family Research Council. Here's Tony Perkins.
David, welcome back to the program.
Good to be with you, Tony. Thanks for having me.
All right, so let's talk about, give me a description of this publication and why we are publishing it.
So we published this booklet, Tony, which is actually the fifth booklet in our Biblical Worldview series. And really, I think the Lord put this on my heart actually 2 years ago. So 2 years ago is when we launched our Center for Biblical Worldview. And when we launched our Center for Biblical Worldview, we published groundbreaking research by George Barna. You just cited part of it, that only 21% of Americans who regularly attend evangelical churches have a biblical worldview. Another part of that poll is that 81% of those who regularly attend evangelical churches think they have a biblical worldview. So a huge difference between the 81% that think they have one and actually only 21% that have one.
What's the disconnect?
The disconnect is worldview confusion. One of the things that our research has consistently shown is that worldview clarity is directly related to the clarity of the theological underpinnings and then the philosophical underpinnings of just basic biblical Christianity. And so a lot of people, again, go to church, they listen to sermons, but they haven't dug into God's word for themselves and understand just basic Christian truths.
Now, clearly, that's why we are doing this journey through the Bible, two-year journey through the Bible. We want followers of Jesus to be in the Word. That's critical. It's essential. But it also needs to be coming from the pulpit. I mean, you cannot have you cannot develop a biblical worldview as a layman unless, it's difficult. You can't.
But it you've got to have teaching. You've got to have you've got to be under the teaching of someone who actually has a biblical worldview, well, therefore can impart it.
You do. And a second ago, Tony, you said that, you know, parents can't pass along something they don't have. It's true in the pulpit, too. So, again, one of the studies that George Barna did that, again, prompted the writing of this resource is a survey he did last year that showed only 37% of American pastors have a biblical worldview. Now, that number is different based on denomination. I think it's 78% of Southern Baptist pastors have a biblical worldview. But that number drops to 51% when you look at evangelical pastors. And so, again, if a lot of pastors and parents don't have a biblical worldview, it's not looking good for the rest of us.
Of course, that's why we're here. We're wanting to equip the parents, and we're wanting to equip the pastors. I mean, that's a part of what this is about. We're not trying to go around them. We know they are absolutely essential in this process, so we want to help them. That's what this publication is about.
So that's what this publication is, Tony. This is really designed to come alongside pastors and Christian parents to supplement what a lot of parents and pastors are wanting to do. And so in this publication, which is actually the longest publication I've written at my time at FRC, I look at that question, what is a worldview? I define it just as the lens through which we look at the world and understand all of reality. And what are the major worldviews, Tony? And I argue that every worldview basically has to answer four fundamental questions. Number one, why is there something rather than nothing? Number two, what's gone wrong in the world? Number three, is there any hope? And number four, where is everything headed? And so I look deeply at what does Christianity have to offer for those four questions. And then I compare that going to the sources of Islam, pantheism, naturalism, and postmodernism. So I put all these major worldviews side by side and just kind of put that framework over them, how these worldviews answer the fundamental questions that all of us have to answer. And at the end of the publication, I try to explain why I believe that a biblical worldview offers the most satisfying answers to every question that that any one of us ask.
I want to go to some practical applications of why worldview is important. In fact, I was on the Hill yesterday having conversations with some members of Congress, and they were kind of lamenting how even they, as they go to church, they'll sit in a church and they'll hear a sermon, but there is no taking a biblical truth and principle and applying it to the issues of our day, which is a biblical worldview. It is, what does Scripture say about the issues we're facing today? I mean, just some of the issues we're talking about here. For instance, we were just talking about the military and how Americans were being forced to fund the facilitation of abortion. A biblical worldview gives us clarity on how to address that.
Well, a biblical worldview gives us an answer to the question, what is man and what is the purpose of man? The deep questions of anthropology. A biblical worldview tells us that every single person is made in God's image and therefore has inherent value and dignity and a purpose from the Creator.
And that comes from the Creator, not the mother.
Right.
The mother is not the one who has the choice over that individual. That individual has inherent value because they're created in the image of God. And that's what a biblical worldview instructs us with.
That's what it instructs us with. And the problem is, again, going back to the statistics, Tony, about how few even pastors have a biblical worldview, one study that our colleague George Barna did, again, this isn't just people that walk around the street, people who go to church. 44% of those who regularly attend church believe the Bible is ambiguous on the question of abortion. Well, why are they ambiguous on the question of abortion? It's because they don't know what the Bible teaches. Why don't they know what the Bible teaches? Well, they're not hearing it from their leaders and from their pastors. And so again,
are they reading it?
And they're not reading it.
Systematically.
Very few Christians actually read the Bible weekly, Tony, let alone daily. And so that's why this worldview is so important, because if a biblical worldview takes root in your heart, you'll have these categories for value and meaning and purpose, which will influence. Politics is always downstream from culture. It's downstream from worldview. And again, that's one of the things I try to highlight in this booklet.
But here's what I want people to hear about this, David. And because I'm asked all the time, Tony, you've been here for 20 years. How do you deal with this stuff? I've been in the political arena for 30 years. I'll tell you how. It's through the Word of God.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I know these things, nothing's new under the sun.
Yeah.
There's nothing that we're having to deal with. Now, yes, there are some twisted versions of what we're in. It's getting darker. But the light of Christ still shines brightly, and the hope that we have in him and what we know is unfolding as well gives us strength to hold on and to persevere. And that comes from a biblical worldview.
It does. The last question is that I say that every worldview has to answer is, where is everything headed? Kind of an eschatology. And as Christians, we should be some of the most hopeful people in the world.
Absolutely.
Because we know Jesus is coming back. So that means we're going to fight our battles. We're going to advocate for the things we believe in, but we'll hold our wins and our losses loosely because we know they're not permanent.
Right. It's
that
like,
kind of perspective only comes from a biblical worldview.
I kind of describe it like as those, they used to have the circuses. I remember as a kid going to the circus, and they had the trapeze artists that would swing, let go of the bar, and swing through the air. Well, they had the net underneath them. So if they missed it, so what? They fell into a net. That's really what, as believers, we're to do our very best. But you know what? It is God's grace and mercy. And if we don't catch the bar, if it doesn't work out the way we want, if we don't see the revival that we want to see in the nation, look, we're to do our part. But God is there. He's that safety net, and we know how this is all going to unfold. That's not a fatalistic viewpoint. It's just knowing that God has his plan. He's working his plan. He's even told us. He's even told us what his plan is if we'll read his word. And that is what sustains us and gives us hope, because what we are, God is allowing us to be a part of what he's doing, and we can kind of tell where we are in the timeline of human history by reading his word.
No, that's right, Tony. And as Christians, we're to give our all. We're to be faithful. We're to give our very, very best to the Lord Jesus. That's what we're to do. But at the end of the day, we're not going to be ones that are just ultimately despairing because maybe we didn't get a win or a loss, which people that don't have that biblical worldview, Tony, I see it at the Supreme Court every June when people lose a case or it goes, you know, it just seems like it's the worst thing ever. The existential despair sets in, and that's because they're not moored in something beyond themselves.
In the world, you will have trouble. But in, take heart, I have overcome the world. In Christ, we have peace. All right, so how can folks get a copy of this publication?
You can go to frc.org/worldview intro. So frc.org/worldview intro. You can see, download it, read it for free, and eventually very soon we'll have physical copies that you can order for your church, small group, and your family.
Now, this goes along with, as you mentioned, this is the fifth publication.
That's right.
So what are some of the other topics covered in the worldview publication?
Yeah, the other four booklets, Tony, deal with the issue of life. The other one deals with religious freedom, one deals with human sexuality and marriage, and the other deals with political engagement.
This is kind of the foundational one of what is a worldview, how does it function. David Clausen, always great to see you. Thanks so much for the great work you're doing at the Center for Biblical Worldview.
Thank you, Tony. It's a joy.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.